The last 2 weeks, we've been looking at our nativity scene, and we've been looking at and talking about the Christmas story. And I've been trying to help you to see that it's probably not as nice and neat as we normally picture it. You know, we normally come up with this nativity scene that's been very nicely painted, and it's all the pieces are just perfect. And, well, it probably was not that glorious of a night. You know, week one, we looked at Revelation 12, and we were talking about the red dragon. We were talking about what's happening behind the scene, and the fact that Satan was prepared and wanting to destroy the baby. We talked about the fact that a nativity scene is a war memorial, and it's a reminder of not just the battle that was, but the battle that is. Last week, we looked at the genealogy of Jesus, and we looked at that section of Matthew, that section of Luke, that you probably, if you're like most people, you probably say, oh, there's a bunch of names, let's skip over that. But in those names, we see that there's a reason that some of them were chosen. The fact that Matthew chooses to record the names of four women who really don't belong there. A reminder to you and to me that our past sins aren't what matter, but that there is really hope for each of us in the Christmas story, no matter what our past is. This week, we're going to look at some more of the unusual suspects that we see in the story. The thing is we have come to expect them there. We think they belong in this story. But this morning, I want you to see the story and to think about the fact that they don't belong. So would you turn with me to Luke chapter 2? You're familiar with Luke chapter 2, if you're familiar at all with the Christmas story. If you remember Charlie Brown Christmas, 50 years ago, Charlie Brown's Christmas. And Charles Schulz has Linus' quote from Luke chapter 2. In fact, it said that he wouldn't allow the network to do the special if they wouldn't leave Luke chapter 2 in the story. And so you're probably familiar with Luke chapter 2. And because of our familiarity, we miss what Luke is writing. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Oh, I wanted to start at verse 7. You see, my Bible has verse 7 up with the last section, and I just started with the section this morning. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same regions, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And the angel of the Lord went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it has been told them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to praise and worship you. Lord, I thank you for the gift of your Son. thank you that you sent him to be born, to live among us from the age of a child until he was an adult. Thank you that he came to pay the price for my sins and the sins of every other person on this earth because we couldn't do it ourselves. Lord, I just thank you for the details of the story that tell us so much about your great love. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right there in the middle of the story are the unusual suspects. Yet to you and to me, they seem normal. The shepherds. You know, we dress our kids up as shepherds to tell the story, and we see them in every nativity scene except for mine. I should have asked for some shepherds for this morning. I forgot. Because don't we have shepherds in our nativity scenes? Because we think they belong there. But here's the thing. If you were reading this from the perspective of Luke's early audience, the shepherds do not belong in the story. The shepherds that are so familiar to us that we fail to realize that they're even there, they would realize because they were not high people in the society. It's said that a shepherd's testimony was inadmissible because of how they were viewed by society. The shepherds were stinky. Shepherds were stinky. After all, they spent all day out in the pastures with the sheep and all night sleeping with the sheep and walking around with the sheep. Shepherds were stinky. Shepherds would frequently be ceremonially unclean, and thus they would be unable to worship in the temple. You know, very ironically, the very sheep that these shepherds were watching likely were destined to be sacrifices in the temple itself. And they could not worship. Shepherds were not likely to leave their sheep. We don't think about it, but shepherds were not likely to leave their sheep. After all, these sheep were a great investment, and to leave them would likely be akin to leaving a box full of $100 bills in a public place and walking away with a notification on it that said it was full of $100 bills. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But that's what it would have been like for these shepherds to get up and to leave their sheep. And so if you're going to tell a story, you would find somebody, probably anybody, rather than the shepherds, to take their place in the story. Yet Luke puts them there. So we need to try to understand, we need to try to ask ourselves, why does Luke tell us about the shepherds? What is the purpose? What is the reason for the shepherds? Let's start by giving it a little bit more of a cultural feel. I want you to think of the worst, most lowly job that you can think of. I hear several of you chattering. You must be thinking of something. I can think of a couple. Well, we were living in Iowa, and in the area of Iowa where we went, it seemed like every section or every couple of sections you drive, you'd see these long white buildings. They were hog confinements. And generally, there'd be two or three of them together in these hog confinements, and they had manure pits underneath of them. And I happen to think that probably one of the worst, most lowly jobs you could have would be the guy whose job it was to suck the manure out of the pits. But then I got to thinking about it, and I thought about an equal or even worse job, because they would suck the manure out of the pits, and then they would use it for fertilizer. And so they had these great big tanks that went behind a tractor, and they would fill up these tanks. They'd take them to a field, and there were knives on these tanks, and they would inject the manure into the ground. And I got to thinking about, you know, sucking the pit would be bad, but what about the guy whose job it was to repair the injection tanks? This is the things I think about. This is a dirty job. And here's why I tell you that, because we would frequently go and sit down and have a dinner at McDonald's or Hardee's or one of the restaurants in town, and these were the people that you didn't want to come sit by you. These were the people that you were hoping were staying at work when you were eating lunch. You know, think about it like this. If you're going out for dinner after church today, who is the person that you would least like to sit by you at the restaurant? And yet here it is. This is who the shepherds are. They were out in the fields. They were the people that you really didn't want them to sit by you. The second thing I want you to think about is the occupation that you believe has the least credibility. You know, the worst job and the job with the least credibility. Who are those people that politicians don't count? Somebody besides a politician. But because you know how to tell if a politician's lying, don't you? Their lips are moving. Or maybe a used car salesman, you know. Or how about the talking head from the infomercials on television? That's when you need the bulbs to go out. In the middle of them. Not in the gun smoke. The infomercials. You know, who is it that you would simply question anything they said simply because they said it? You know, that's the kind of person that a shepherd was. You see, this is how people looked at the shepherds. Yet we're told when Jesus was born, the angel appears, and then the heavenly host appears with the angel, and the group of shepherds, finds themselves sent to find the newborn Messiah. It's a good thing that Jesus was born in a room that was used to house livestock, because these guys wouldn't have been allowed in any hospital today to visit a baby. Yet they were told to go and see the Messiah. Not only do they seem like unusual suspects for the first witness to the Messiah because of their cleanliness, there's also the part about doing their jobs. You know, likely these shepherds were not tending their own sheep. These sheep probably did not belong to the shepherds out in the fields watching over them that night. Because often the owner of the sheep hired other shepherds who would come in and do most of the work. This is why Jesus in John chapter 10 verses 12 and 13, he can talk about the good shepherd and the hired shepherd and show how each of them might act in a particular situation. Because this was standard, this was normal, and probably these shepherds watching over the flocks by night were hired shepherds. So while Jesus says that when danger arises, the hired man might run, they generally kept very close tabs on their sheep. If one sheep was attacked, the hired hand would do his best to get at least some of the sheep back to show that it had been attacked and not given away or eaten by the shepherds. If they couldn't prove that the animal was missing, had been attacked, they generally became responsible for paying for the animal. And if they lost a whole herd, their master's sheep, it would be financially devastating to them. So for them to leave was a great challenge. Yet Luke records for us that not only did the angels appear and tell them of the birth of the Savior, not only were they the first one told about the birth of Jesus, it says that they left their sheep to go and see this baby they had been told about. They left their sheep. And here they are, right smack dab in the story. And the only question is, why? Why are they here? Why did God choose to reveal the birth of His Son to a group of shepherds? I think it's precisely because of how many strikes they had against them. First, because He wanted people to know that the baby who was born, the Messiah, was to be for everyone. You see, if we have a birth in our families, we tell people that are close to us, we tell people that are dear to us. We don't tell strangers who are stinky and dirty and we don't believe what they say, who are poor, and we don't tell those people. We tell people we love. We tell people we like. But yet, God wants us to know that the Messiah is born for everyone. You see, if He'd have made the announcement to the wealthy, it would be easy for those who are wealthy to believe that it was only for them. If He'd made it to those who are wealthy, it would be easy for the poor and the outcast and the downcast to say, He's not for us. If His birth was announced to the powerful, we might assume that it was the political leaders who had a corner on Jesus. If His birth had first been proclaimed to the priests and the Levite, it might be assumed that it was only for the religious elite. Yet His birth was announced to the underprivileged, despised, and nearly outcast shepherds. He was speaking to people who didn't have power, who didn't have prestige, who didn't have wealth. And so the birth of the Savior is great news for those of us who are not the power brokers, so to speak, of our culture. Jesus came for the ordinary Joes and Janes. Even the stinky ones that you don't want to sit next to at lunch. Here's the second reason that I think that God sent the message to the shepherds. He sent it to the shepherds to test those who would hear it later. Here's what I mean. This is what Luke says. He says in verse 17, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." I think that that's one of the reasons that God chose the shepherds. Would the people that heard about the angelic messengers, would the people that heard about the trip to see the baby and the perfect way that the two matched up, would the people who heard the story believe the messengers? Because if God had sent the message to the religious elite, then certainly people would accept it. If the priests and the Levites could stand up in the temple and proclaim the birth of the Messiah, people would accept it. If God had sent the message directly to the politically powerful, they would have eagerly listened and accepted the message. If the message was given to the beloved of society, then many people may have gathered around and accepted the message. Yet God God wanted it to be a true and honest belief. And so he sent it to the most unlikely of messengers, the shepherds, to be the first to hear and the first to see the Messiah, and then to be the first heralds of the message. So those who accepted the message had to listen and really be moved by what the shepherds had to say. You think, I think Charles Schulz captures the reason why God chose the shepherds quite well in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie Brown is out looking for a Christmas tree for the pageant that his friends are going to put on. And he finds a scrawny, sickly-looking thing that loses a good number of needles when he moves it. It can't hold up a single ornament that he places on it. But he tells his friend Linus, "I think it needs me. I think it needs me." The reason that God chose the shepherds is because we need God. We're all like that little Charlie Brown Christmas tree. We need God. And God choosing the shepherds, he shows us that the message is for all of us. For all of us. So here's what I want you to do. You know, week one, I said, get a red dragon for your nativity scene. And I had that little itty-bitty one, and you give a dragon steroids, and look what happens. You get a red dragon, remind yourself that there's something going on behind the scene that you're not aware of. Last week, I said, you know, get your red light bulb or get your red cord to remind you that the women don't belong there and your past doesn't matter. God came to save us, not in spite of our past, but because of our past. Well, this week I think you need to get a pair of sandals. You need to get a pair of sandals, and the stinkier the pair of sandals you can find, the better. Maybe you can go out and rub it in some dog manure or cat manure and get them really good and stinky and put them in your nativity scene. Because here's the thing. The shepherds didn't belong. They don't belong in the story. Oh, they're there and we expect to see them. Don't you expect every year to see the shepherds? Don't you expect every year to hear Luke chapter 2 and hear about the shepherds? And we sing about it. We expect them there. We sing about it. Angels we have heard on high. You know, they just belong. That's the Christmas story. But while you and I believe they belong, they don't belong at all. Nobody would accept their message. Nobody would expect the shepherds to leave their sheep. Nobody would believe that an angel came to a group of shepherds and said, "Peace on earth, glory to God in the highest. Today is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." But it's because they don't belong that they're there. It's because that they didn't belong that God chose them to tell the story to you and to me. Because we don't belong. We're not powerful enough. We're not good enough. We're not the right people. But yet Jesus came for you and for me. He came for the poor. He came for the lowly. He came for those who don't have power. And so the shepherds are there to remind us that the story is for everyone. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have never come to understand the full beauty and the full meaning of the Christmas season, that unto you today is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and if you need to understand, you need to visit with somebody about what that means to begin a relationship with Him, I'd love to visit with you. If you're ready to make that commitment, we'd love to walk through those steps with you this morning of giving your life to Christ, acknowledging that He is the Lord of the world and the only true King. If you need to make a commitment, a decision this morning, if you just need somebody to pray with you this morning, I'd love to do that as well. Won't you come as we stand together and sing our hymn of invitation?